Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for another day. Another day he's going to do great and mighty things. Every day we live, God is doing something. He's always up to something good. And he is he's organizing his people to win many souls. These are days you may see things, good moves of God in biblical proportions. But remember something. The Lord, Jesus spoke parables to those who were in opposition. And when his people asked him privately to break down a parable, he openly taught them the word of God. Now, with that being said, the Lord is not doing, he's always done that. If you've noticed in the Word of God, to people that were hungry and wanted to know, the Lord always took time and taught them. Just the woman at the well, Nicodemus came to Jesus privately and he learned from Jesus. The Lord teach those who are hungry. Now he didn't just teach his disciples unless they asked. When he spoke a parable, he spoke it to everybody. But when they had questions, then he broke it down to his people. The Holy Spirit does the same thing. People that learn from the Holy, I said it last broadcast, the people who learn the most from God are those who operate in the love of God. That's how they live. They are motivated by the love of God. And they walk out of fear. They learn not to fear, and they start, and when you learn not to fear, because perfect love casts out fear, it's easier to receive from the Lord then. Sometimes people they don't seek the Lord in the first place because they're afraid that he's going to give them something to do that they don't want to do. But I promise you, whatever God give you to do, if you love him, there will be a burning desire in your heart and no demon in hell can stop you from doing it. Now they'll try to bluff you out of it, using the misunderstanding that you've been taught by false prophets and people who were taught by false prophets. The enemy will try to quell it any way he can. He'll try to get weak Christians to bully you into not doing what God said to do. And I said weak Christians, people that don't know God, people that don't know him fully, people that don't have a strong relationship with him. Remember this, the enemy will use anybody he can to hinder you. And they don't do it all the time. They do it in weak moments. That's when the enemy uses people to target you or to hinder your progressions in God. So with all that being said, the Holy Spirit will guide those who are hungry. And the stronger you are in the Lord, the more stable you are, the easier it is for you to receive from him and go forward in his word and live a valiant life like David. Remember, people have flaws. Even David had flaws. But don't look at the flaws. Look at Jesus. Whatever you're doing, if you're believing God for healing, look at Jesus. Don't look at the sickness. Don't consider the pain. Don't consider the fact that nobody you know will have ever gotten healed from this problem or this disease or whatever it is. Remember, all of Satan's power has been crushed under Jesus' foot. So if pain attack your body, if anything attack your body, do what the scriptures said do. If believe God for your healing. If it's too new to you and you don't feel comfortable praying for yourself, the word said go to the elders and they will pray the prayer of faith and you will be healed. But go expecting to walk away healed. Go expecting full recovery. Do it in faith. Pray expecting full recovery, nothing less. And it's best to do it fast. It's best to do it when you first find out you got a problem. Because you can get used to being sick. But forsake being used to being sick. And look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Whatever you're believing God for, look to him. Why? because your vision will increase. It's your business. Read the word every day till you believe the word of God for your situation and stand on it. And you will see the mighty works of God. That goes for everything. Whatever you believe in God for, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Just like Peter, as long as he was looking to Jesus, he was walking on water. Only two people recorded biblically walking on water. One is Jesus and one is Peter. Now, I'm going to tell you this too. Other people have walked on water. It's just not recorded. Because I've heard testimonies of people that walked on water. And the only reason I dare believe it is because I've seen the handiwork of God in my own life. You know, I was thrown out of the way of a moving car after I'm laying flat on the ground after a motorcycle wreck. There's no way I could have jumped out of the path of that speeding car fast enough. Angels helped me do that. So if you're looking at Jesus, he'll help you know that all things are possible for you with God. I'm going to say that again. All things are possible for you with God. When you're in him, you can do things you just can't do. And that's why ministry is so important. If the Lord anoints you to do something, don't look at what you do in a limited way. The Lord takes the fraction of the small things that we do and he multiplies. Now, how does he do that? I don't know. But when you obey the Lord, more is happening than you can see. On your end, it looks like you're just doing something small. But heaven has always taken small things and done great things. Everything God makes starts in seed form. And everything. Even the physicists say this universe started out in seed form. And everything of God, that's just the way it is. Every animal, every fish, everything. Every bird, all people started out in seed form. Now, your ministry is no different. And don't let people judge you because it looks small or look insignificant. God loves to take things that look insignificant and do great wonders with it. Remember, salvation is brought on by one man, the man Christ Jesus. And just like sin was brought on by one man, the man Adam. See, if Adam had children before he fell, those people would still be living if they never got in sin. But thanks be to Jesus, he died for us. And we can have salvation because he did it legally. He didn't do it illegally. Everything Jesus did was of God and perfect. And we're benefactors of a perfect work that he did. And we build on the foundation that he laid. And I thank God for it all the time. And so we're going to pick up where we left off. We've been dealing with how anointed people, it behooves us to stay in the love of God, not walk out of it. Now, there's all kind of teachers out there. They teach all kind of things. And people say what people want. Think some ministers will teach what they think people want to hear. And I'm not concerned with doing that. I made myself a promise a long time ago. I said, if I got to be a minister, I'm going to do it God's way. I understand fully that you got to give an account for what you teach. And I want what I teach to be of God. And the only way I can do that is to obey him. I didn't call myself to the ministry. God did. So that means that he called me to speak his message. And I don't have one. I preach what he give me. I don't make up messages and I don't just do things. Everything I do is by the order of the Holy Spirit when it comes to ministry. And I work hard to speak exactly what God wants me to say without flaw, without tampering with it. I work hard to do that. And I pray that, you know, sometimes I say, Satan, you can't use me. Because Satan is slick. if you misunderstand something some way, he can use it to his advantage. I just say you can't do it. And I ask the Lord to help me preach his word perfectly. Because the enemy uses others that love God, and I don't want him to use me. So I work hard to get a firm understanding of what God wants me to do and then do it. Now, since I've been doing that, this message came about how the Lord select people. He select people based on the according to their design, what he intended for them to do. And when they've been faithful, God always promotes faithfulness. And I started this lesson teaching that just because people started out faithful, that doesn't mean that that they'll remain faithful. I hope they do. I want them to. That's it's of God for them to remain faithful. And I want to see people do the handy works of God. But if a person leave their first love, things start happening that should not. And the reason for these last several website broadcasts, ever since I've been talking about Saul, it shows how people can have a position and walk away from God. But they still got the position and they still have the anointing. And people don't know that because, you know, people have the idea that once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you, especially if you're a preacher and you're anointed and God worked miracles in your life. But that's not the way the Bible's written. Jesus said many. Many means many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. And he'll say, depart, I never knew you. And they're going to say, we cast out demons in your name. We preached in your name. We worked miracles in your name. He's going to say, depart from me. You work iniquity. And he wasn't talking to the world then. He was talking to his people, people that said they were his people. Now something happened. They did something. They got, they were anointed. They were truly anointed. But they walked away from the call of God's word. They left their first love and they started loving other things of the world. And they actually became an enemy to God. Because the Lord would no wise cast away somebody that's right in his eyes, washed in the blood. When you're washed in the blood, your sin nature has been destroyed. You have a brand new heart. Now it's up to you to guard that heart and stay in the love of God. The problem of the Laodicean church that became wicked, they left their first love just like Saul left his first love. Instead of falling in love with God and getting to know the Lord, he fell in love with his position. He fell in love with the praise of men, just like Lucifer did. What Saul did and what Lucifer did was not different. What Lucifer did was worse. He wanted to take over. But what Saul did, he disobeyed God. And he tried to take over his own ministry, which was to be a king. He was anointed to be a king. Instead of doing things that protect the covenant that God made with Abraham, he started resisting. He became an enemy to it, even to the point that he sought a witch. And what he did, it looks innocent from a certain point of view. But he went and sought God without repenting and turning away from his evil. He tried to go in the Lord's presence with his evil. And when the Lord wouldn't answer him, that wasn't enough. He went and sought a witch to raise up Samuel and talk to Samuel. And we're going to find out that caused even more problems for him. If he would have repented, he wouldn't have died so bad. He was already fired from being king. He should have just stepped down. He would have lived a lot longer and better if he had just stepped down. But when he saw that the Lord wasn't with him anymore, he should have stopped. But a proud man will not humble himself unless he repent and stop being proud and stop living a pride-infested life. A pride-infested life is an evil life. Because proud people don't operate by love. They operate by fear. People that love God, they operate by love. And then they do the powerful works of God. And when other ministers coming up, I've seen so many people, they aspire to be powerful and not loving. And you can't be powerful without having love first. In fact, when you operate in the love of God and you do things biblically, you become a light to some preachers, because all that they've seen is people trying to be powerful. They want to do the mighty works. The mighty works come from loving God. God is first. People will always be jealous of people who love God. They'll always do an inferior work, and they'll never get to know the Lord until they repent. It's not about the powerful works. It's not about how many people get healed, how many people get saved. It's about everything's based on your personal relationship with the Lord. Do you love God? Who do you love the most? And why? I love God the most because God first loved me. He taught me how to love. I love after the order of Jesus toward the church, which is after the order of God, the Father, guided by the Holy Spirit. I want to love people more now than ever. Why? Because as I steadily do the works that God give me to do, if my love walk increase, the type of people who hear my voice and learn to obey God and use the anointing that God has given me for His purpose, then they're going to walk in love. They'll be inspired to do the same thing, because you reproduce after your kind. A person that's proud, they can't produce people that love God. People that love God can't produce people that's proud. One reason is when proud people get around the light, they leave it. They feel bad because they see that somebody knows more than them. Somebody's better off than them. They know things they couldn't know. And they feel bad. And they fear being exposed. And they always leave. When you minister to a group of people, if their heart is toward God, the Holy Spirit increased the volume. He increased the volume of wisdom that He have you to speak. Sometimes you'll speak things you never even, concepts you never thought about before. The Lord can put the Word of God together. As you study the Word of God, He can put that puzzle together at any time. He can do it while you're training, while you're speaking. He can do it while you sleep. He can give you revelation of His Word at any time. But when there are people out there that's pulling for the Word, they want the Word, they want to know God, they love Him, it's a different audience. And they want this. And it's easy for you to minister to them. But I was at a friend's funeral one time, and I'm used to ministering at a church that want to hear God's Word. And when I stepped in that pulpit to say the few words that God had given me and to read the Scripture, I could feel the resistance, because some of the people there didn't want it. Some people did. I could feel it. Some people wanted this to be over with so they can leave. They didn't want to hear nothing about God. And they don't go to church, and they don't want to go to church. But there were people there who wanted to know. And I forgot about how when some people don't, you have to do warfare when you go to a church like that, so that you can give the people that want God's Word what they need, and so that you can break through the people that Satan has bound. And it's been a while since I taught at a church, at an audience like that. And some audience are that way. They don't want God. They don't want nothing to do with God. They got their own opinions, they got opinions against the people of God. They mad at God, and they don't want to know Him. When you when you teach the people like that, the Lord doesn't give much because they're hard-headed. They don't want to know it. But the people that want to know God, the Lord will speak to them. And he'll speak parables to people that don't, so to help them get out of their bondage. That's just a kind mercy of God. You can feel it. When people want it a certain way, they want God on their terms. That's pride. So proud people don't want to hear the truth of God's word. They go to school and they find preachers that'll preach what they want, and they pay them big bucks. And when that preacher gets saved and start teaching right, then they leave. They start causing problems. But the Lord told me years ago, every ministry to build wrong will be torn down. It will fall apart. And wherever you see, in the course of time, whatever you did right, that'll be stable. But wherever you went off track, that part's got to collapse. Whether it's in the middle, whether you went astray and came back, whatever you did while you were wrong, it's going to cause a problem. And that part of that ministry must collapse because God can't use it. But when people build correctly, then God can move in their life. He can do things that normally couldn't be done. And this is where we are in him. These are facts. And the Lord had me teaching on this because he knew the most mature people would listen to this broadcast. And he wants you to know him and how to avoid all the corruption that happens to be among his body. When the Lord taught the parable of the tares, he taught the focus is on the tares that's sown among the wheat. Because you can't tell. Nobody can tell. Even the angels, they can't tell. They can't tell as much. They know that there are tares there. But the Lord said, let them grow together. At the end of the harvest, we'll separate them. See, now you know what to look for. There's a separation started. See, when you don't know what to watch out for, you walk into it. You walk into a trap. The Lord doesn't want his people walking into traps. You don't have to. He wants your eyes to be open. He wants your knowledge to be keen. He wants you to have a keen sense of what's right and a defining sense of what's wrong. He wants you to be aware of what's out there. So, when you love God, all people are not going to celebrate you. When you love God and you have a standard of doing God's word, some people are not going to be around. They're not going to want to be around you. You will make them feel uncomfortable because your light is shining and you expose them for the choices that they make of their own accord, of their own will. And it's healthy. Do it. Embarrass people by living the light. Sometimes you don't even have to say a word to them. But when you live the light, you force people to make a decision for or against. And I'm going to tell you, some people, they'll see better and they'll want it. And they'll walk away from their evil. And people will get saved. Your kindness, your love, your consistent love breaks the yoke of bondage that has them trapped. And it helps them to enter the yoke of Jesus that's light as a feather. See, while they're fooling around being proud, they could fall in love with God and become anointed and make a difference. Instead of being jealous of people that do that. Now, Saul had no intentions of giving up. He ended the last chapter we studied, chapter 29, commending David, asking David not to kill his family when he become king. He saw the fact that he was going to lose and David was going to win. And remember, he was a prophet. When I read, I think that was verse 25 in chapter 29. Now we're in chapter 30. Now David went to Ziklag. He smote Ziklag and burned it with fire. And while he was gone warring in Ziklag, his enemy came and they took the women captive that were with him. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. We read this in the last broadcast. So we're just going to skip on down. And this is when David, he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God, in verse 6. And they made it, I think we made it to verse 9. Where verse 8 says, "And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Sometimes you can be in a storm, in a situation, but God has your back. Always, always persevere in your faith. Tell Satan that he can't kill your people. Tell Satan that he can't hinder your purpose. Command Satan not to bother your people. Command Satan to stop his activity. And pursue the perfect will of God by your faith, motivated by the love of God, and you will always win. This is what David did. Now, he did it a little different. We have authority over Satan. He didn't. But he had the authority to do what God said do. And the Lord helped David. Now, we're different. We have authority over Satan, and we have to use it. If we don't use our authority, then we're allowing him to do something. You don't have to allow him at all to infiltrate your heart with his lies. You can destroy every fiery dart, every satanic thought with the shield of faith. See, the shield of faith, it covers everything. Some people say, the shield was based on the Roman shield, which only covers the front because Christians don't have to run. Let me tell you something. The shield of faith can cover you like a bubble. And you can command it wherever you need it. You can protect your child with your shield of faith, and it can surround that child like a bubble according to your faith. If you can believe for it, you can have it. And sometimes you're in a position where that's all you got, and you better not fail. Now, let's say your child is in another country like Afghanistan or Iraq, fighting in our military. The Lord give you a dream that he's in danger. You got the authority. God does not. You have the authority on this earth. You say, Satan, you can't kill my child. You can't harm him or her. You can't wound his body or her body. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with him and protect him. And then command the angels to protect his life and guide him out of danger and his platoon. See, your shield of faith went all the way around the other side of the world and shielded him and his troop, or her and her troop, like a bubble. And then they had the everlasting protection of God, and they get to come home safe with all their limbs intact. The problem is people don't understand the power they have in the Lord. And the only way you can believe it is by loving God. The Lord gave us good gifts. Now, we use them according to our faith. If you have a child that got hurt in the war, or a husband or a wife, and they came home without limbs, don't feel bad. You didn't know this. The Lord knew you would need it, but we learn these things as we go. I can't say, well, I might hurt somebody's feelings and I'm not going to preach this. This is to help people that hadn't been hurt. This is to help you from this point on. Even if you lost a limb, God loves you. You didn't have to. But if we pray for our body parts, my friend Odie, he sings, he's one of the best singers I know. On the radio broadcast, he sounds like James Brown. All right, the Lord told him to pray for every part of his body. And he was standing on this pallet, pressure washing. And the water was 10,000 pounds of pressure on it. And it was unstable. But he prayed for every part of his body, because the Lord saw he was going to get hurt, which he did get hurt. He did slip and fall, and the water jet cut one of his toes off, his little toe, cut it off. If he didn't start praying, it would have been worse. Let me say something also. We are in a warfare. Demons are trying to destroy us, and angels are trying to protect us. You have a part to play too. What are you speaking? When the Lord warns you, something's up. You have to kill Satan's plan, and you can. I can't say that you can't do it. It is according to our faith. He had success according to his faith at that time. Instead of losing a whole foot or a whole leg, he lost a little toe. Because the Lord saw a problem coming. He saw a storm coming. Could the Lord have helped him rescue his pinky? Yes. But first, you got to have faith for what God say do. Everything is according to the way we measure his word. The way you measure it, it'll be measured to you. It's not God's responsibility to protect your life without you